If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hey everyone, Alex here with a quick note ahead of today's episode. As part of our efforts to make sure that we get through every outstanding patron shoutout, we're increasing the number of people we thank. This means we're going to move the shoutouts to the end of episodes going forward so as not to make people wait extra long before the start of a show. That's all for now. Thanks for your patience, and we hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast, episode 151. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today, I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith,
Hamid Slaher and Altahan,
Sel Sidebottom,
and Azu.
And it's almost everything's fine, right?
Fine is a strong word for what we found
it's
last episode.
It's fine enough that we're not going to sing the song.
Sorry. Yeah. The only people that are in this room are fine, and if that isn't like complete happiness for everyone, I don't know what it is.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay, so brief recap. We have...
We killed Shaheen.
We have...
No, we didn't. We have his brain that we're going to interrogate.
We dissolved his body. His big mech body.
One of his bodies. He's a gestalt entity now.
Yeah.
So what you currently have is a brain in a jar. That's a brain in a jar, but in our backpack holding.
Yeah. Right. It's a brain orb. It's a borb.
It is a borb. Don't forget that it's a borb. And you are currently in basically under the seabed to all intents and purposes at this point.
Under the seabed.
Bed.
Everything's better. Down where it's wetter. Under the sea
bed. We are simple folk.
We've definitely started singing more lately, haven't we?
I blame everything on Tim.
It's definitely Tim's fault.
He's raising a bar and we're going to crush him beneath
it. He's not even here.
So, you have, I wouldn't say successfully, but certainly begun the process of emancipation on the island. I'd say that's a thing that's starting to happen.
We enabled them to emancipate themselves.
Better way of putting it.
Self-determination.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm going with that one.
Yeah.
We didn't want to steam in all white saviour.
Absolutely. Mm. At which point then you are ploughing on through the lads and or blokes MOOC section of the complex.
Well, and we haven't actually encountered one yet. Oh, we did encounter, we encountered one.
And then he was
very encountered by the enemy.
Yeah, he definitely had an encounter.
Skrark earned XP for that encounter.
Skrark very much did. And you are currently heading on towards Central Control, I believe, was where you were heading on to, having found horrific experimentation rooms.
And going to hit them all so hard.
Manky bunk beds, among other things. But yeah, you are all on the way to Central Control. And I will skip ahead to you getting to the entrance thereof, unless anyone has anything you want to do in the corridors approach beforehand.
No.
It's kind of a determined silence, I suppose.
Makes a lot of sense.
Ooh, clomping along. There are things that I could do. I mean, I could be a dolphin again.
Now that you've slept.
Now that I've slept. I mean, I can't just be a dolphin. I could be lots of things. Probably not a good idea in these tunnels to get all big.
How big are the tunnels? Are they like medium creature size? Proper facility kind of?
Yeah, so a large creature, not a good idea.
I did give this to Zolf earlier, but I'll give it again, which is, to your eyes, they look like, whether they were naturally occurring or not, they have been expanded to suit medium creatures.
Cool, perfect.
Okay.
Windy, but
big.
Yeah.
The radius of the tunnel as a whole is what, 10 foot?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, not exactly spacious for Azu, but also not
claustrophobic. You're not going to be going down shoulder to shoulder doing the can-can, but maybe two of you could.
Ah.
Right, yeah. So being big would be a bit silly.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, if you flooded the complex behind yourself and made yourself big, you could get popped out like a cork. That could be fun.
Is there an animal that I could... Oh, I could be a big walrus. Get shot out the tunnel.
You'd need something bigger in your mouth than the pencils from last
time.
On the bright side, we found out how you could have got to the island much quicker and easier than you did.
Yeah.
Walrus cannon.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone ride the walrus.
You start to approach Central Command. It's obvious because it's well signpost, as have all of the bits down here.
Andy.
You are approaching what appears to be another pressure door of the likes that you've seen before. However, you also notice that although you've been walking through worked but not well-worked stone, the approach to the door, sort of about 20 feet or so, is lined in metal. So metal plates, but squared metal plates, to kind of give it a semblance of, like, order and organisation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only real difference that you could tell, that you're approaching an actual different thing than just another bit of corridor.
Fair enough. Clomp up to the door. Glaive goes on. Open the door.
You're not going to check it for traps?
No.
No traps go off. There goes my arbitrary delay.
So, I feel like it would be a bad idea to, like, put a trap on your office.
Yeah, probably.
Also,
in fairness,
got no time for this. Just get hit by a trap, it's fine. So you've got loads of hit points.
In Ben's defence, he does now have...
Got loads of hit
loads
points.
Of
got
hit
92
points.
Whole hit points.
That is,
how
that
come
is
you got more than me? I'm.
Got a big con score.
Oh. Oh, I don't.
But he's just not courageous like you are, so that's okay. He's mostly a chill sea dude at this point.
Chill environment neutral dude.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, you
it's
open
weird, these landscapes.
You open the door into a comparatively large room. Think natural cave where engineering work has been worked into it, sort of bolted into the walls and so on, all built for medium-sized, not smaller creatures. Things that you see immediately heading in. You see there is the ground floor that you are on. There is a circular, raised walkway suspended in the middle of the room via girder struts and so on. And there are a couple of people up there who do not appear to have noticed you at this stage. You also see there are a couple of doors leading into this room. So there are three doors at the ground floor. The one that you came in, one off to the left a bit and one off to the right a little bit, equidistant, give or take. For Bryn's not benefit, they're not quite equidistant, but they're close enough. They're also, the floor's not completely level, but again, you're working with a natural space that you're retrofitting. The one signpost to the right, the door on the right has a very clear signposting which says to the shore. Mm-hmm. Although admittedly, this one is in Japanese, so, you know, and there is one off to the left, which I believe also says to processing. And so he's sort of looping back, apparently. And in terms...
Processing was the bit we already scouted, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And there is, in the centre ceiling, large amounts of apparatus coming down, leading to a... I'm going to say a large board, because until characters are taking proper perception checks, they're not really going to know what they're looking at. And there is someone sat staring at a board which is changing in some way.
It's a command center for all the whales. No, the squids, the whatever they are. Nah.
Why is there a raised walkway?
There is a raised walkway encircling a large amount of apparatus in the
ceiling. Okay, so it looks like...
the gantries for
sure. Okay.
Unless you're taking proper perception checks, this is immediate response.
The purpose is not obvious, I suppose. It's
correct.
Okay, cool.
Correct.
Are there any doorways at the raised walkway level?
No. No one has noticed you. The room is comparatively loud, insofar as there's lots of sort of clicking, clacking, and gentle machinery noises from all of the apparatus that's hanging down from the ceiling, which has masked the sound of the door. And in the nicest way possible, the people that you have gotten a quick glimpse at appear thoroughly unenthused with their work. No one's batting an eyelid, at least one of them. You think the one staring at the screen, there's a 50% chance they might be asleep. Like, they are quite chill in a way they shouldn't be.
I'm going to cast Shield on myself, because that's something I can do now. That's not a new spell, it's just that I never had a chance before. I don't think I need to do anything, I'm just beefier.
Shall we go and deal with them?
Yeah.
I would also like to cast some spells. I'm going to cast mage armor on myself.
Ah! Finally ran out.
I'm going to cast fly on myself.
Ooh.
I'm going to cast
cool
fly on Azu. And I'm going to offer to cast fly on Sel. You have boots.
I need to know if Sel accepts.
I didn't get a chance to accept.
This is true. Sorry. Would you like to accept fly?
Yeah, you can.
I mean, you can resist it.
Azu will accept fly.
Yeah.
But I don't like that Alex is rolling dice.
I'm presuming we're stepping back outside the room now the door is open, rather than just doing it where they can see us.
And does Sel accept fly?
I assume he's rolling to see if they notice the sound of spells happening outside the room.
Does Sel accept fly?
Yeah, sure.
So, during the three standard actions that it takes for him to cast three spells, I walk forwards and I lop the head off of the one in the control panel with his back to us.
So, to be clear, control paneling stuff is up the walkway. You are on ground floor.
Fine. I walk up to where it is and hover until I can lop the head off of the person on the control panel.
That scans.
Yeah, and I don't care about being seen because these aren't dangerous people.
No, that's fine. What I would say is because it's bizarre, and I'll throw it out. They're all getting penalties, you know, for the noise and so on. Every single one of those was 4 or lower. This is going to be one of those days. Yeah. It is utterly trivial. The one who is staring at the board is asleep. And
So I'll coup de grace that guy.
Honestly, I am not going to require an attack roll. He doesn't have sufficient skills or ability to stop you. If you coup de grace, he is just dead.
Cool. Then that occurs.
Excellent. Oh. Let's find out if anyone else in the room notices. No!
Wow.
So you have walked in and just floated up and...
I will turn to the rest of the
full
party.
Full decapitated and no one has noticed.
Yeah, very grim look on my face.
A hostile workplace.
Yeah. I'm definitely making it hostile. Basically sort of mime sort of eyes at all of you and then point around the room and just draw my hand across my throat.
You do the comedic hand signals of it all deteriorates into squiggle, squiggle, squiggle.
No, no.
shape, bap, bash, bash. Suddenly you're doing the ducky.
Yeah. No. So I'm basically heavily implying that let's just kill everyone in here.
Okay, I'm going to fly up to the nearest.
I'm still not actually going to jump into initiative until someone notices something.
Well, I'm not going to attack them from behind because I'm honourable.
Tap, tap. What?
Paladins.
Stab.
Yes.
Yeah. Really?
I'm just going to like... I mean, I wouldn't
it's
like to kill
It's
got to
be in self-defence. So they've got to see
okay,
you
I go up and I get the attention of whoever...
How many people are left in this room?
Two.
Okay.
So I'm going to
They were
one.
All on the higher walkway.
While Azu is aiming for one, I'm going to fly up to roughly level with the other and cast Scorching Ray. But please feel free to resolve your action first.
Are we looking for synchronised actions here? That's
more
perfectly fine. I'm okay with it. I'm still not requiring initiative because they're all not... In which case, then, I'd like to know more detail, Helen, regarding Azu's thing here. Are we fly up, tap, tap?
Okay, so I just want to, like, give them a shake to make sure that they're not also under mind control, because Azu is not going to feel good if other people are mind-controlled apart from kobolds, and then she
okay,
just kills them.
Okay, cool. You shake them, they see you, and go, "Bah!"
Okay.
At which point, the surprise round activates. You all have a surprise round. Because they're surprised. I am going
to
have to require initiative.
Because there is... Where's his head?
I would be surprised.
I am going to require initiative order because there is a chance that one of you could miss in a way that attacking a sleeping person isn't.
Okay. 16.
So, that is a 16 for Zolf.
19.
7 for Azu.
12.
So, Hamid... You smashed the initiative order on that one. Go for it. What do you want to do?
I cast Scorching Ray.
That makes sense.
I get two attacks.
That
They're
makes
both
sense.
Ranged touch attacks.
That makes sense.
This person is flat-footed. So
yes, they are.
AC is very unlikely to be more than 10, so I hit with both.
What were your rolls, just so I need to know?
20 and 27.
Yeah, you're fine. Like, there are some rolls that I like, and the ones where I don't need to look things up are the rolls that I like.
Quick question. Does Sel recognise any of the people here? Bearing in mind that there have been continual raids on their village for, I think we'd agreed, several years.
I will only answer that after this surprise round.
Cool.
So how much damage does...
I rolled 4d6 for the damage of the spell. I just rolled 2 sixes and 2 fives.
Okay, cool. We're both. Did you separate
you
out the rays?
You used them up, Bren! Yeah,
I know, right? I can't remember. Did you separate out the rays or did you...
No, I aimed them both at this ball.
Cool. What's the total damage?
Oh, no. That's 26 damage.
They burst into flame and die.
Cool.
Just...
The second ray hits the wall?
Roll the damage for me, please.
A much more sensible amount of damage, 16.
Okay, cool. You also, basically, you shoot the person who then immolates, and the second one goes through the person who is in the process of immolating and just starts to set fire to the equipment that's hanging from the ceiling.
That is my action.
Understood. In which case then, Zolf, you're up.
Oh.
Yeah, it turned out that your first action didn't trigger a surprise attack.
Yeah.
Because they all rolled less than 4. I think like 13 times.
Yeah. So Azu is standing in front of a surprised Mook, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to lean over and go, Isel, can you work out what this does? And that's my action.
Sel, you're up.
Can I work out what that thing does?
give me a knowledge engineering, please.
15.
You believe it's probably a notification system for the people who are in here about stuff to do with the cell block, let's call it, the cell cavern.
It's info on probably the cavern, like stuff around it, notifications.
And Azu, you are up, because 6 seconds. You're currently looking at someone who's, let me get the facial expression right. it's difficult to translate to audio. Listeners, lower your left-hand side of your lip. Raise the right-hand eyebrow. Now, adopt the face most used when you eat a rotten strawberry whilst maintaining those 2 fixed points. That's the face.
Yeah.
Ben gets it. So does Lid. There you go. What are you doing, Helen? I can riff all day, but it will be unusable.
Think
garbage.
About what these people have been doing, Helen.
I did. Can I detect evil on them?
Yes, but it will use your action.
That's fine. I don't think they're going to hurt me very much. So okay. I just want to check if they're evil or not.
Okay, you detect evil. The person that you are detecting evil on is... They're not full evil, but this person's redeemable, but it would take a lot of work, and they also, frankly, might not be worth it.
They're collaborator evil, right?
Yeah, that's kind of Ben's... Ben's got where I'm going with this, is...
Yeah,
this is someone who's been following a lot of orders, you know what I mean?
Ooh!
Yeah! But evil's a scale. This is someone who's been following a lot of orders. Take that how you will.
That's why I gave the first one the choppy chop, because, you know...
Mook the first is dead. Mook the second, who is currently surprised... attempts to flee, triggering an attack of opportunity from Azu.
I hit them with my axe.
Lethally or non-lethally?
Lethally.
Okay. Give me an attack roll, please. Don't forget all of your bonuses because it's the first one and your feet goes off.
Just roll to hit, you'll hit, and this one is so dead. Yeah, that's about 20. Do you want to confirm the crit?
Roll to confirm the crit.
It'll be this one where it doesn't really matter.
6 plus your normal attack bonus. 19 total.
Yeah,
19.
God, after the show-in battle, this is who I crit on.
Yep.
Roll your damage.
So that's 4d12 add 18 damage.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Base splash?
It is hypothetical.
Do I need
possible for them to survive, I think.
For ease.
There's 2 ways this can go. They either just survive or they explode as giblets.
We're starting
one,
on 18.
2. Yeah. 6, 8.
So 38 total.
30, yeah, they explode into giblets.
Splash, yeah.
Like, honest to God, you just like butter. it's kind of, you get the impression that you started swinging up going, count for the armour. Swing. There's no armour. there is a spray of Quentin Tarantino blood that splats up the hanging machinery,
okay,
which starts to sizzle slightly with the remaining entirely fluff-based fire from Hammond Scorching Ray.
Okay.
You are an awful human being.
Yeah. Azu doesn't look very happy about this.
They drop, well, what's left of them drops. The room is now empty. Apart
just
from the
viscera.
Apart from the drip, drip, drip of fresh viscera and the clickety-clack of the screen-slash-board thing.
Does Cell recognise any of the people?
Oh, dear.
The room?
Forgot about that.
That one I'm not going to need a perception check for.
Mm-hmm.
You recognise the one that Azu has completely splatted. Mostly, you remember them from a while back. They were the one who was giving a lot of orders as well to people to like hustle things down. Mm. But in the last sort of 6 to 8 months, they kind of stopped being seen around the place. They weren't nice.
No.
They similarly didn't steal children in the night. Like, yeah. There you go.
Had enough kobolds, didn't need to.
Funnily enough. Yeah. So yeah, there's your answer.
Okay.
Hey, Sel, control room, right? So is this just notifications and like looking at stuff, or can we start to shut this down to disable the base without, you know, drowning all the kobolds?
For free, because you already did the knowledge engineering. This is a place to be told about things that are doing. They can't actually do anything useful from here. It is literally just...
It's just notifications, right? It's just like, that's... It's like a...
Monitoring station.
Yeah, imagine if there were... Like, obviously it's such a crazy thing, but imagine if there was a transport system for the public where people left from one place to go to all sorts of other places, right? And then, but you would need to know when things were departing, right?
Okay.
So I've worked this out in my head that maybe you would need some kind of notification or even a board where it would tell you about the departures, possibly even arrivals to help people work out when people are arriving.
So it's a place...
It's a notification board.
Right. So it's not worth destroying.
The things
I mean, if you'd enjoy it...
You know, just from looking, because it's just obvious, there are two main things that it has built into this screen/board. Mm. By a board, by the way, I mean literally, it is... You remember back in the lift, there was one of those rods can stick out, rods can stick in kind of things?
Pixelated.
Yeah. Effectively, what this board actually has is just a bunch of binary sort of on or offs for what you reckon are the actual cells of the kobold cells. Mm. And then there's a separated bit at the bottom, which genuinely most likely is some equivalent of like a...
Alert!
Effectively. However, you do notice that it isn't displaying pictograms. Mm. They most likely have some basic like semaphore symbols, but it is exactly what you just said.
It's a status thing.
So we don't want to waste time.
No, it's not.
Okay. Let's
go. Can Cell work out whether people, like, is it showing that lots of people are leaving their cells?
In order to break it down, because they're using a proprietary, like, semaphore thing, you could. Like, anyone with linguistics could, but it is going to take you about half an hour to kind of go, this means that, so that must mean this, blah, blah, blah. It's not ciphered, it's just...
Yep, it's not worth it. Let's just go get this over with.
Yep, we've got more of these people to get rid of. Let's go.
All right.
Float back down, and away I go.
I love making you all grizzled veterans that slowly are going to come out of this covered in blood going, you weren't there, man. It's great.
Like that scene in The Witcher, where he fights his way out of a monster.
Pretty much, actually. Yeah.
He turns up in the pub covered in horribleness.
It's a nice scene. Also a good song.
Oh, such a good song.
So, I am guessing you're heading on to the shore as opposed to back to processing.
Yeah, I want to get out of here.
That's fine. You head through another pressure door. It has no traps on it or anything. To anyone who's paying attention, it's readily apparent, this is where all the traffic's been. Why would you have loads of traps? So you start heading down another corridor. Again, it starts with the worked metal and then just proceeds into the kind of semi-worked stone. It's quite windy and it takes a little bit longer than the previous corridor has. If anyone wants to have a conversation, now is the time, but I'm guessing you're all kind of grimdark at the moment with what's going on.
I certainly am.
Mm.
Also, three of us can still fly.
Yes, this is true. It's going to be about 10 minutes down a corridor. Like, it's quite a long corridor.
That is about how long fly lasts.
Okay, there you go. Fly's going to be wearing off.
Oh, and shield's going to wear off.
We can be super stealthy on the approach, at least.
Look, I need you all to know, by the way, you all prepped spectacularly. It's just that you may have broken the back of that encounter before it even started.
You know, with flying, is it like a hovering thing, or do you have to, like, make swimming motions to fly, or how do you...
It's a magic spell. You control your own motion.
What is your fly rank?
What do you think?
It'll be -5, -7.
More than that.
I've just got nothing written in it.
Then I can tell
you. So it's your deck score and your armor check penalty combined.
So like more at least -7.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, you certainly are trying to swim. It's kind of zooming it. You've got a decent fly score.
My fly score is like 12.
I
can.
Zolf's used to it, and Cell, you've flown
11.
As creatures.
As it just stopped paddling
along. It's flying kind of fantasy stuff.
I don't have fly cast on me. I'm just walking.
But you can levitate, my point is, so that you at least have some experience in.
My fly score is -2, so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you're ungainly, and Azu is swimming through the air. It's the closest comparison. You're like, okay, that's. It works. I'm getting where I need to be, doggy paddling through the air.
My arms?
Yes, you are. It doesn't affect the spell, but you don't necessarily know that.
Hamid finds it too adorable to correct.
So
Dad's just walking.
So, at the end of
Cameron really enjoys flying.
At the end of the 10 minutes, you see that you are approaching what appears to be almost like a minor station prior to another pressure door. And by a minor station, I mean it has a few lockers on either side, and it has a bunch of signs near the door, which are all in Japanese, but Cell could translate. They're all versions of, though not exactly, you know, loose lips sink ships, that kind of propagandary, like, don't talk about this when you're out there, don't talk, blah, 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 blah. There's one which does translate quite well, which is also in...
Live, love, laugh.
There's one that says, a secret tunnel's only a secret tunnel if you keep it secret. And there is one that says, you don't have to be mad to work here. Someone's torn the bottom off and put, yes, you do.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Cell translates one or two and is like, they're all kind of, you know, like that.
Well, let's go.
In terms of the lockers, by the way, just so that you can see, they are in disarray, mostly apparently due to sloppiness, not due to like being ransacked.
Ugh.
You see another one of those axes, another one of those proprietary wrench things, and so on. You see on one is a sort of at least 10-20 bottles sort of ranked, all of which are water breathing and labeled as such in Japanese. And then the other one seems to have what best can be described as like waders raincoat styly stuff. Again, it's all equipment for fixing wet maintenance areas.
Gonna take two water breathing potions.
Yeah, I'm gonna take several, actually, considering my last
there
experience.
Were I'm gonna say there were 19, because 20 feels too round a number.
Okay.
I will take
two.
Five.
I'll take three.
I'll take two.
So this pressure door, again, I'm assuming you just open.
Yeah. I am very much in I don't give a mode.
Okay, so
a rat's bottom.
I do not give a rat's bottom.
So this pressure door opens, and then on the far side, you can see Cell would get this for free. You are looking at the back of a secret door. It is a wired mesh that has sort of what appears to be like the back of stone effect, like loose unworked stone effect on it. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's weighted so you can just push it open from this side, but it's clearly the back of a secret door.
So begins to hyperventilate. Okay, so they're not in the tunnel, which means that they have gone out, like for some kind of vengeance
right,
purpose.
Let's go.
And I knew I shouldn't have left them.
It's all right.
Cell, come on, let's go.
And can I please have? I should let you know. Just to finish description. Across the back of this door is a large and obvious trap mechanism. But you're looking at it from the turn on, turn off side. I'm gonna go ahead and assume you turn it off. Trivially, I don't need a roll. It has a big on-off lever that's labeled as such.
I like that as a.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Although that Cell wouldn't be looking at that. They're distracted. So
it's
else.
Very one obvious.
It's obvious to everyone.
Everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Flip the switch. Throw the door open. Be like, "So it's going to be okay. Let's go."
Yeah.
And I'll start running down the tunnel.
So to explain, once you open that, what you find yourself in is it takes a moment to realize it feels like you're at a T-junction, but what you are actually at is the side of a corridor just coming in from a secret door to the side. If you see what I mean.
Right.
To your left is a tunnel that appears to be sort of semi-worked stone with like braziers across all of it. Think like honestly Dungeons and Dragons style torches. Ooh, however, gosh. They appear to have waterproof flares in them rather than like flaming torches.
Practical.
To your right, you see it continues in this manner for like 50 feet, at which point it then has a pressure door that is left open, and beyond it you can see that sort of aquarium style glass tunnel carrying on beyond that. Do you see what I mean?
Right, so one's so back, obviously back into the base and one's out.
Absolutely.
Right.
Like,
oh,
patently okay. Obvious, if you go left, you are at another entrance that is heading in towards the base. It kind of twists and turns a little bit so you can't really see which way it leads, but it's very sort of, ooh, dungeon, ooh. And then the other
gosh, so that's where most of the adventurers
come through.
Comes, right.
Absolutely. And then the opposite side to the right has the more sort of glass aquarium tunnel thing, which certainly doesn't seem to be leading back.
Wait, there's the brazier one. We should go up the brazier one.
So the brazier
goes out.
You all believe that the brazier one seems to lead towards the base, and the glass one seems to lead away from the base.
Right.
Based on your kind of
fair, then run down the glass one.
That's fine.
Okay. Is running really going to help? Because I mean, we're just going to turn up, and it's all going to have been burned to the ground. It's all going to have been burned to the ground and smashed again. It's all going to be burned. Look, everything.
They don't seem that competent.
Yeah, but they seem mean.
As you are running along the glass corridor, just to give you a bit of description, this has a lot more gilding on it than the mechanic one down there did. So it's like, not only does it have like the reinforced bands, but they're all like brass. It's a little bit tarnished, but it's got the bells and whistles that you feel like you might have dodged around coming in the way that you did.
Yeah.
It still has more of those flare brackets on the wall that are ready to be lit but aren't. But running along, it starts to get quite dark because the stuff isn't lit. I forget who does not have dark vision at this point.
Me and Sal do not have dark vision.
Okay. It is honestly dark. You're still quite low beneath the water and there isn't really any light coming in from anywhere. So as you start running along, it gets quite dark as you leave the secret door behind. In which case then I'm going to need to know marching orders or if you're going to do dancing lights.
I mean, I'm not the fastest, but I am not concerning myself with marching order, so I'm just going.
That's fine.
Other people can overtake me, but I'm not like.
I was assuming Sal was going first.
I mean, Sal is the fastest. Everyone else has a move speed of 20, and Sal has a move speed of 30, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
You are a chonky party. Slow, but you hit hard when you get there.
Yeah.
You know, I know that you probably won't let us sleep for another month. That's like 6 months between each time he gets us get to sleep. But I think Sal will beast shape into something with dark vision. Need to decide on an animal. What, like a wolf? Does that have dark vision?
Tell you what, why don't we take a break, and when we come back, you'll have decided on which type of presumably giant sloth or something that you'll be playing as.
Maybe a bear.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
And welcome back. So the verdict on which animal you shall be is...
Me, but bigger!
Good. I'm glad we had this talk.
So to be clear, though, you're casting...
An enlarged person.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
That doesn't help see anything, but I'm going to be big.
Please track that you have used the spell.
Yes, I know. I'm using them up at an enormous rate.
You've got
rate.
A table and everything.
So you become...
Big.
You still can't see in the dark.
Nope.
However, I am going to say this. If people are happy to just jog along in the dark, it's genuinely fine. It's a long, perfectly straight corridor with nothing on the floor.
What's the time of day?
Ooh.
Because we might even get a glow, dim glow. I don't think this is super deep.
Can everyone please give me a survival check?
Ooh.
Ugh, six.
I actually have that.
11.
10.
14.
The rest of you have genuinely lost all sense of time. You're assuming night at some point. Maybe late, maybe like dawn-ish. Sel, you're getting the impression it might be closer to like noon.
Sorry, 11:32 a.m.
For practical clarity, though, is there any sort of dim lights filtering down from the surface of the water?
There's genuinely not.
Fine. Okay.
So you all head down the corridor, basically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to be trying to reassure Sel. Sel, remember the one we questioned said they were preparing an ambush for us. They still don't know that everything's gone wrong. They might not have left the ambush yet. They're not likely to have left their posts necessarily. It's going to be okay.
Just I can't let them down, you know. But then
you won't let them down. You've just taken down the entire operation, so that's a win.
We'll get them, don't worry.
Yes, and if they're as easy as the other ones, then.
So, you are running along this corridor, and it is dark. For the people that have dark vision, you can see that the thing is raised slightly above the seabed, all the better to show off the seabed. Unfortunately, your dark vision doesn't really stretch far enough to give you big vistas or anything. It's water. That's all you
We're not getting. Here for the view.
Exactly. No. Continuing to run along, and you eventually, all of you see in the distance, there are sort of sudden flashes of light and sort of streaks of colour way further down the corridor, but they don't look like they're in the corridor. They look above the corridor, if you see what I mean.
Yes, but no.
On the sea, they look like they're in the sea above where the corridor should be. The corridor stretches off, you know, that shrinking perspective.
Yeah, thing. Yeah.
And then beyond where you can realistically see, above it, you're seeing flashes of light in the water, like streaks of light and so on.
Okay.
That sounds like a fish.
Thing. You are still at least like a couple of minutes run away.
Spellcraft?
Yeah, actually that would do. Knowledge Arcana or Spellcraft, whichever.
18.
18?
On Spellcraft.
And
30.
All right, great. I'll just go home, shall I? Yeah, whatever, it's fine.
So, Zolf. What you notice is, those spells, you've used them quite a lot, or at least you know people that have used them quite a lot in sailing. A couple of them would definitely flare just from a pretty significant distance away. Very useful spell, not so much on the fighting-y side. It can be. And Bryn, Hamid notices that they might be flares, but that type of casting, the way it's being used, there probably is a fight up ahead.
Excellent.
I'll relay that. I think there's a fight going on.
Oh, right. Okay. Right,
let's go faster.
I am now actually taking the run action mechanic.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, yes. So will I.
I will do that as well.
You very quickly overtake us.
Yes.
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, my gosh.
Multiply weight by 8.
Yeah. Does it affect your movement speed at all?
It does not say so.
Okay.
Makes sense.
So.
Still gangly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, that's more like alien in the vents kind of thing. Yeah. That's suddenly got real awkward.
It's grim.
Vicar Amelia from Bloodborne.
Okay,
I don't understand, but I hope it... Yeah!
Well, Ent, if you lay it down and then force it to drag itself along the floor.
Hey!
What?
Because if an Ent was stood upright... Yeah, but if an Ent was stood upright in this corridor, he's going to be... Anyway. Yeah. Anyway.
They'll just have their leaves...
They're stupid.
Remember, if we're all taking the run action, Cell literally
is 40 foot.
Yeah, so goes 40 foot around further than the rest of us.
I need to know, is Cell leaving people behind or hanging back enough to let them keep up?
Leaving them behind.
Okay, cool. Fair. In which case, I will start dealing with Cell first.
Mm-hmm.
In the distances that are involved, you leave the party properly behind.
Oh, right, okay. Cell may shrink then. It's only 1 minute per level.
It will run... Ooh.
Your level 8 is 7 minutes.
I may get small as I hit...
9 minutes.
Yeah.
It'll still be up by the time you get closer.
Okay.
So as you get closer, you can see it's another one of those sort of underwatery bubble things up ahead that this corridor seems to lead to. It is much smaller than the other ones. We're talking like maybe 50 foot diameter, a single dome with portholes, and it's a lot more chunky and metal than it is a glass elaborate structure and so on. Think like oversized bathysphere, if that means anything to you.
Yeah, it does.
So as you're approaching, you can see that the lights are flashing within the bathysphere. Oh, yeah. And you could press on and go inside if you want. You can hear the occasional muffled sort of...
Is it still dark, then?
It is still quite dark. The only lights that you're really getting are the ones that... There's an ambient light within that bathysphere thing, and then the occasional bright flash.
I don't want to let Cell get too far ahead. Okay. When it becomes clear that they are going top speed and going to leave the rest of us behind, I'm going to cast Fly on myself again.
That's fine.
Now, I can't take the run action when I'm flying, but I have a fly speed of 60 foot, and I can double move, which means I go at the same speed as Cell.
120 foot around.
Judge's ruling. That is accurate maths. Yeah, fine, don't worry about it.
I've never heard that.
Like, you can sync up easily enough, it's fine.
Well, I'll still be behind, because if they're going top speed, but I will no longer be losing ground.
Yeah. Mm. So, this is the situation. I need to know what the people up at the front are doing before I can deal with what the people at the back are doing.
Going to go into the room.
Cool. In which case, then, I'm going to jump to the...
Cell is probably 2 rounds ahead of me. That's probably how long it takes me to... decision to cast Fly.
And can I please get an initiative order from everyone, and then I will call it from there.
16.
21.
23.
14.
Crocodice, no.
So, Sal, you are actually at the top of the initiative order. It's a good roll. So, you're heading straight in, I'm guessing. Okay, I am going to say that it is going to be your full action to sort of get to door, swing it open, and survey the room. Okay? So, within the bathysphere, what you see is it appears to have been done up in a similar way to, you remember there was that one room that was like a temporary respite lounge kind of thing? It feels similar, but it feels more like a waiting room. Like, you know that transport hub that you've hypothetically been playing around with in your head? If someone was going to go to that transport hub, they might need occasionally somewhere to wait that's comfortable for long periods.
Especially if they travelled a lot, and so there was some kind of scheme to ensure their loyalty to
one. In that kind of scenario, there's two things that you would want is free and easy access for things like trolleys, and also like lots of seating and, you know, maybe snacks to that. It is a fully circular sort of bathysphere dealy with some couches dotted around, some coffee tables.
What there is kind of fabric covers the couches?
What kind of fabric do you think? It's all leather and good leather.
Oh, okay, good.
Around the outside of the circle is a wider walkway that has like drainage. It's like grill work, basically, clearly like for moving your freight and so on. And there is a pitched battle going on inside. Specifically, I'm not going to give you all of the numbers unless you take active perception check. A whole mess ton of mooks appear to be fighting a bunch of strangers that you don't know.
Well, that was unexpected.
What kind of species are the folks I don't know? I assume that I'll get at least a vague idea from the
human.
Oh.
Oh, it's bloody. It's
going to be
and
wild
Carter
and
Martin.
Carter.
Pardon? Pardon, Helen? I mean, you're right. F***ing Carter.
Beep and beep it, both sides.
Hammond, you're up. You are basically, it'll take you the full round to get up to Cell, but
yeah.
I'm assuming you are literally just catching up.
Yeah,
that's fine. In which case, then, Aswin's off, obviously, you are a little bit behind. The fight carries on. You see one of them is wielding a sort of adamantine cutlass and is going to town against three people in a very kind of, like, ha-ha, how about you?
Barnes has levels in swashbuckler.
They feel like the kind of person who might jump off a sail with a knife in their mouth and then use it to slide down the sail, cutting it.
Barnes has character levels in swashbuckler.
Very sexy.
Swashbuckler's cool.
It is.
And the other one is currently throwing lots of knives at people.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is it just two on one side and how many on the other?
About eight.
Also, because he is always a thief, Carter apparently has stolen Sasha's gimmick.
Hammond.
Great disrespect.
You recognise that there are eight mooks in this room, all of whom are fighting Barnes and Carter. Carter is the one throwing the knives. Barnes is the one who is currently...
Could someone remind me who Barnes is?
Barnes was the nice northern admiral who court-martialed Zolf way back in Dover.
Oh, yes!
Who was very sorry about it.
And Wilde said he was working with these two... They're the B team.
Cool.
I suppose we did take a while.
Yeah,
basically, without diving into huge amounts of time. Yeah, that's fine. The fight carries on. I can't be bothered going into the minutiae.
No one noticed the giant that came.
Genuinely, no one has.
Giant who was stooped over because of the squidgy. Yeah, the giant that is probably like really quite having slept in a tunnel under the sea. Their hair is full of seaweed. They got crazy eyes.
Cell, you are up. You can see a battle map where we have Barnes. Basically, you know what? He's going to have to be. He's stood astride a sofa and he's using the height advantage to great effect against three people facing off against him. And Carter is keeping the remainder at bay from flanking Barnes, apparently.
Sure.
That's your tactical analysis. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Cover fire, that was the word that I couldn't remember. In which case, then, you are up, Cell. What's the plan? You are still large.
Yes, I am large. And honestly, the kind of frozenness that I feel probably very much echoes what Cell would feel, not knowing any of the people involved. So,
one clarifying question. Are the mooks wearing a uniform which is the same uniform as the other mooks we've killed from Show in Space? Because that might help target acquisition.
No, they're actually wearing kind of stuff that you've seen them wearing when they're hassling your village.
So if they're wearing
armour and like cloth rags and things like that.
So do Barnes and Carter stand out
as
different? Okay, in which case, Cell will throw actual alchemist bombs at this person because it is the person that is nearest Cell and has someone else next to them, so will be hurt by Splash.
Understood. Roll the attack.
Yes. Oh, that's a natural one.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
That's fine. So your bomb just goes completely wild, as in, like, you're like, haha, I'm big. Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Messes up my angles.
I knew it was. It felt small in my hand, but I still threw it. God damn it. Damn it, damn it, damn it.
Did it hurt anyone?
No, then? It just into the ceiling.
Okay.
Zolfan, Azu, way back, see another bright pop of light.
That makes sense.
Okay, I mean, I do have three more that I can throw this turn.
That's
so,
okay, go for it.
Come on!
Okay, so that's 10 plus 7 because I've minused 1 for my dex, so 17.
That'll hit the AC.
Okay. 14.
Nice.
Plus 7, so 21, and then 12 splash to the person next to them.
Goodness. Nice. 21 and 12 splash.
Yep.
Okay. They are both stud. However, the one that you directly hit looks awful. Just terrible.
Oh, it wasn't a full spot.
And like you look like you've all but killed them. And the other one's like, and is also like quite heavily damaged. You get the impression that you maybe just fell shy of totaling it. They both flavour, but they both turn and go,
You have some more bombs.
I do, yes, of course. I have two more. I had forgotten that. So I'm gonna aim this one.
How many can you throw? Three or four?
Four.
Good. Go.
Cool.
I'm going to aim this one at the person that was splashed last time.
Sensible, very sensible.
And that's the kind of logical thing I would never think of.
As an 18.
Hit.
So that's 15, 19 damage, plus 7, 26.
And what's the splash?
12.
Yeah, they both explode into giblets.
Giblets.
A lot of giblets today.
You're a giblet heavy day, okay? You all powered up and you're against people who aren't, okay?
Some days just knee high and giblets.
One day you're going to be level 20 going, when did we start pulling our punches?
Cell's going to just shout, stop fighting!
The remaining people all turn, see you and go, get out!
All of them?
Neither Barnes nor Carter have shown any aggression. All the others went, get out!
Fair enough. Cell will be like, you know I hate that! And we'll throw a bomb at... Okay, so it's 25 foot... Yeah, Cell's gonna throw one in front of the two who are next to Carter. So, no, not next to Barnes, so that the splash hits the two attackers but does not hit Barnes.
Yep.
Cool. Attacking an empty square. Get you, empty square.
Nail the empty square.
No, plus one,
not mine.
18.
You're fine.
Cool.
Yeah, screw you, empty square.
You don't need to roll damage,
do
you?
Roll anything. How damaged is the square, though?
Oh, it's true.
Is there anything in the square that I might
damage the furnishings?
Blew up a chair.
Yeah. Well, there's a really, really comfy-looking armchair there.
There was.
That is a correct assessment of the situation.
Okay, so those two take 12 each.
They are both... They are both exactly as messed up as the first one that received splash damage. That's how messed up they are.
Oh, so they hadn't taken any damage before.
Nah.
Barnes is rubbish.
In which case, then, I don't think there's anything else you can further do.
No.
Hamid, you are up.
I fly into the room.
The listeners at home, this has been mimed in detail.
And I'll go and hover on one side, nice and high up, so I'm out of danger. And then I'm just going to cast Magic Missile into melee to try and pull some heat off Barnes.
Yep.
He is currently flanked. I'm going to target the one... I'm going to undo the flanking and target the one that was hit by some splash damage just
now.
Very
sensible.
16.
Down.
16 damage. That is newly enhanced level 9 Magic Missile, which means there are 5 individual missiles.
So that's pew-pew. Pew-pew.
I I finger guns. One comes from each hand. One comes from each shoulder, where my wings will eventually sprout.
Oh my god!
That makes sense. Where's the last one from? Your nose?
Yeah.
Weird.
Where the fire energy will come from?
Azu,
look at me sneeze fire upon these people.
Azu and Zolf, you are now basically going to be within sight of the doorway. Next round, you'll be able to take part.
With a run action or with a normal move action?
So, you are now just outside the doorway. I'm being very generous on time because...
Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Benevolence.
Okay, in which case then... Barnes, unfortunately, only manages really to keep the mooks at bay, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Alex still hasn't rolled higher than a 5 all day. Carter also does nothing useful.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that sounds very, very...
Cell, you're on.
Cell's going to get their crossbow because they don't want to use up all their bombs, like that happened last time. And they're going to shoot their 3 arrows, punctuating each one with... Pronouns are they them! all of them. So let's see if, while shouting that, they have to make an absolute idiot of themselves in a
I really hope not.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fine for them to be ridiculous as well. Like, 15 plus 7. No, the first one, I think, hits right between the eyes.
Yeah, very much so.
The dice say they, them, right?
Remember, if you're firing at these ones, you get minus 4 for firing
Into
melee.
Well, then the others, those ones.
What's the damage on the crossbow?
It's only 1d10 plus d6. So that's only 4 damage, but it stings.
Yeah.
Because it's electric, so they're like, you're going to get that message.
Which one got hit, though, that one?
That one.
Okay.
19 it plus 7, yes.
Does that threaten? What's the threat range on a crossbow?
Not just a crossbow, a...
heavy repeating crossbow.
Heavy repeating crossbow.
19, 20.
So, yeah, so confirm your critical.
Really? 8 plus 7.
15?
Okay, so it's still a critical.
Okay, but
nine,
like... Yeah,
so 9 damage.
9 damage.
Which one was that at?
The same person.
Yep.
Third shot of the same
just
one.
In my reading of the scene, that's the person that said her in a way that Cell could hear particularly.
That's so fine.
Just and another 15. Does that
15
hit?
To hit?
Yeah.
No.
That's good. Nope.
Mind you, 13 damage. That's respectable damage for a mook.
Especially while annoyed and shouting.
Yeah. Indeed.
Normally
and
doing
big.
It.
And big.
And big, yes. So that's the thing, is that Cell's attack bonus is down a bit because they are big and thus they are struggling necessarily to operate the fiddly mechanical
bits. But you can fit more anger in there.
Yeah. There can be so much anger.
Anything else that you're doing with your turn?
Stepping aside so that others can get in.
Hammett, you up?
I continue to hover, cast magic missile again. Again, I'm going to be relieving the pressure on Barnes.
So just very quickly, it did sound like you just text a Hammond in the middle of the night with, you up?
hey Hammond, what you doing?
That was quite a good roll on those 5 missiles.
22 damage.
Which one?
The one that's already been hit.
Yep. Say it with me. Giblets.
Like the way that you stress the j, it just feels like it's gonna go jelly.
I mean, yeah,
it wibbles and wobbles as it lands on the floor.
Gross.
I mean, if I was doing this tactically optimally, I'd roll each individual missile and then potentially retarget after.
But this is not a fight you have to care about.
Yeah,
it could have been. It hasn't been.
So wants at least one to remember the pronouns this time.
Anything else, Hamid?
That's me.
Okay, Azu, you are now up.
Oh, do I enter the room?
You can now act exactly as normal as you would in combat, with the running and the jumping and the axe in.
I guess I think I just I'm a melee fighter, so I just run in and I kind of go ah.
Well, as the tank, you run in and you are big and there.
Yes.
Where would you like?
Okay,
to...
Okay, I go in and do a battle cry. Then.
Do you want to move again?
Can I?
You could move
up
to someone.
You've moved
you just
once,
move
and you
can
do another move
because of the distances involved.
So you can get up in
You can get all up in their grill.
Yeah.
Can I get up in these people's grill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know Barnes?
No.
Do you know Carter?
Yeah.
Would you reckon? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so
Azu,
Carter.
Azu, yeah, you recognise Carter across the
room. Oh, in that case, what I yell when I come in, I want to run in, see Carter, and go, you!
Do you run at Carter?
He's probably the ringleader.
No, I know he's not. I just think he's silly. But I think I'm just going to go in, recognise Carter, yell at him, and then sort of be like, huh.
Oh, you were like, you're here. You're here?
Yes. I pause in confusion.
Zolf, you're up.
I come in.
Great to see you both.
And Searing Light, the only one engaged with...
I don't think you've done Searing Light before, have you?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, have you?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. Then we will skip the interesting and exciting description.
I hold my hand out and, like, a bright white light flashes out as a ray. Yeah, I do a Dragon Ball Z energy beam.
Yeah.
Cool. But holy.
Destroy them.
Yeah. It's the hope that gets you.
It is.
Like right between the eyes.
25.
Do you not have to roll an attack roll if it's a ray?
Oh, yeah. Whoops. Well, I've rolled my damage. It was 25. Blah, 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 blah. So 23. Factoring in the minus 4.
You touch them with your hope real good.
That deals 25 really? Damage.
They are extremely hopeful. Like, fatally hopeful. Okay, cool. Yeah, they're... Oh, in fact, there's a brief moment where, like, poor Barnes is just facing off. It's almost... What just happened?
I will give Barnes, like, a kind of watcher, kind of, like, not really a salute, but, like, a, yeah, kind of wave. Yeah, wave salute.
He sweeps off the hat, which you recognise as his hat for a long time, but Hamid is quite new, elaborate, and has a rather elegant feather coming out of the top. And gives quite the flourishing bow to you.
I know he's an admiral, but in my head, he just looks like a pirate. He looks like such a sexy pirate.
Pirate is the look. He looks like
a pirate. He is a pirate.
Well, the Navy would have fallen apart, so he's just he's a privateer.
Yeah. Oh, he's done a Garrus Vakarian.
In fact, you want to know what his look is? You know what? I'm happy to describe it.
He's Baldock.
His look is, take someone with all of the military regalia, okay, and then strip away all of the frippery, but leave the kind of vibe. So he might still have a military coat to him. But
how
extra...
unbuttoned is his shirt?
I was about to ask that! I was like, how sweaty is his chest?
I'm really worried that the...
All podcasts become fetish podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really worried that the mic didn't pick up Helen's giggle because it was so high-pitched.
Helen, so that you know, naval.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
God, we're full mills and
boon.
Yeah,
we know he's a naval man. How unbuttoned is his shirt?
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. But we're full mills and boon cover, eh? Is Barnes played by Fabio?
I think you mean full Harrison Campbell cover.
Hey.
I think Barnes is played by Sean Bean.
Well, would you like an info dump even though we're in the middle of combat? Would you like the info dump? Barnes also. Big fan of the Harrison Campbell books. You got him into them.
Good.
Aw.
Good.
In which case...
The man has taste.
In which case, then...
Ben just looked at me really pointedly.
Barnes immediately turns and does a very large and elaborate display. Sort of picks up his sword, floats it, puts it down, swings it round, up behind the hand.
Actually hurt someone!
Juggle his sword. So, wait, does he have, like, dazzling display or whatever the thing was
maybe.
That Bertie
oh,
had?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that should probably be enough, at which point the mooks... both yell in Japanese some version of the phrase "Oh no, cheese it," and then another one says "Where?" They both flee. One attempts to flee past Carter, provoking an attack of opportunity. Carter, come on, man!
Okay, and continues. Dear. Are they running or 30-footing?
They are
double moving.
Okay, so the door's here, right?
Yeah. They are currently getting through the door.
Just about.
The other one, however, mucks it up, starts running towards Azu, changes their mind because there's more at that end than the other end, doubles back, wasting some move, and then heads the same way.
Okay, 5, 15, oh no.
Yep.
Still gets there.
Yes, just. Okay, cool. In which case, then, I'm going to stay in initiative because I want to know what people are doing with the stragglers, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Carter, thank you. Thank you.
Would you like some damage dice?
Thank you. There was a brief moment where Carter might do literally nothing, and that's not going to help the cause of, no, seriously, they can be useful, I promise.
Again, very character appropriate.
Yeah.
He manages to fling a dagger that squarely hits one of them in the back and takes them down.
Way!
Does not manage on the second one. And... ooh, hang on. Good point. Okay, enough, Carter. You're useless to me. Why are you even here?
Well, exactly. That's what we're all asking.
Cell, you're up.
Cell is...
well, grumpy. Carter just had to roll higher than a 6.
So, yeah, they can't alchemist bomb, but they can shoot... Will they be able to see?
Yeah, they're just
through an open doorway.
So the crossbow is out, and that's 20.
Hit.
And it does a 9 damage.
Okay. They are still up, though they have an arrow sticking out the back of their neck.
Ooh, the neck!
Grim.
That's 23 and 7 damage.
They are still up.
Come on, take them down. Way!
No, because that's 12.
Oh.
It's 12.
Yeah, the second attack is not as good.
Yeah, unfortunately, over their shoulder, but they are staggering away and bleeding everywhere. Yeah. Hammett, you're up.
I swoop down to the centre of the room to get a perfect view through the open door. I'm now standing next to Barnes, but I mutter in Draconic, this is for the kobolds, and cast Scorching Ray.
Nice.
That is 18 hit. And 21, both hit. On ranged touch attacks.
Both hit. Ooh.
Right, yeah, gone.
Yeah, that guy is very dead.
Yeah,
it's like, a bit ironic that you're using that with this is for the kobolds.
No, it was Scorching Ray. It wasn't a fireball.
For the, okay.
It's a different spell.
It's a different spell, right? Yeah, yeah.
That okay, fine. That's fine.
So that's fine then, yeah.
So what's the damage,
fine.
Just for my own records?
Oh, well, 24 on the first.
Oh, there you
ray.
Yeah.
And then the second ray, they're dead.
The second ray, you've got nothing to shoot
probably,
at.
Yeah, probably just don't fire it.
Oh, fair enough. Keep that one.
Just
later.
Like,
not
maybe
how it
that
works.
One, like, no. Zooms up into the air while you go, no!
Okay. At which point, then... I think that's a sensible place to end an episode. You know, we've all reconvened, and that way I don't have to address Carter's terrible, terrible performance. He's going to have a performance review.
I mean, we'll do that
episode.
Next time.
And,
it's Barnes that didn't achieve anything.
He did a dazzling display that was very dazzling.
He didn't. Okay. He did successfully intimidate the two mooks.
Oh,
he successfully seduced Azu, apparently.
I did not say that.
Seduced okay. Helen.
No, yeah, yes. That's fair. That's fair.
Yes. Thank you.
Just as maybe at the action end, Sel shrinks.
Yes.
And steps forward and says, "Hi."
Okay, and that's where we will end. In which case, then, we will come back to this next week where there might be something other than just fighting and death. Who knows?
Yeah.
Gosh!
It's one of your campaigns, mate.
Bye!
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/RustyQuill. Thanks for listening.
I get different dice every time we do this, and they're all cursed.
Okay, no, that's because it has no impact, and you're just remembering the bad
ben,
rolls.
This is your dice now. I still haven't rolled higher than a 4.
I brought my own dice.
No, I want you to use that dice.
I
told you!
Oh, no, the curse!
No, I just think it might genuinely be slightly weighted, right?
There you go.
Well, now you used it.
Step the high score. You can't attack someone directly with the dice.
Sorry,
Ben.
Just
you're breaking the
full disclosure. The noise that Alex made was, I think, a genuine one of shock because he didn't realise I was going to throw the dice at him.
This isn't Stella Firma.
I was going to say
you can just do that sort of thing. We have manners here, Ben.
Temporary taken over by Hartro.
Yeah, I'm the Hartro. Yes, everyone, open your mouths.
Oh no.
So,
I'm
going to
try and catch a dice in my mouth.
No, feet. The joke I was making is that Hartro is a foot dom.
Returning.
There's so many crossovers I don't want.
Returning to the murder. Returning to the murder.
Thank you, Alex. That's much safer for me.
you are welcome. Hi, everyone. Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. MAB, Bree Raymond, Olivia Peachley, Game Stresser, Lucy Hall, Brittany Guy, HD, Elfie Ibenbob, Maryam Trabelsi, Lainey Barbarian, Stephen Schlebeck, Robert Espy, Full Futuritis, Silphius, Gaminet, Nick Duhamel, Thor, Chris Halliday, Arctic Metal, Bob Hundertmark, FXKTN, Sarameh, Alexis Arendt, Mickey, Greg Mayer, Tracy Van Haften, Becca Marielle, Victoriano Velo, Imogen,
Books and Cats, Churlington Beescoat, John Albert, Victorious Prime, E. Looking, Overflight, Matthew Taylor, Bremen J. Savage, Lydia Katz, Cher Silver, Quill and Scale Designs, Teresa Wu, Scorner Lott, Ricky D. Wren, Harmony Bat, Cole Weber, Andrew, Grey T, Thomas Nieboa, Rob Beckman, Katie, Shaz, How Do You Write, Zoa Mortensen, Monsters Advocate, and Enzi. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.